This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 806 ESPN 97.5. John and Dell now. Is it...
Is Lance getting copy points from the Texans and tell O'Brien about what to talk about? Where is he?
I don't know what. Now, see, that's ugly.
What?
That you would say that Lance is getting copy points from the Texans.
Maybe directly from Bill O'Brien about what to say.
Because, so is that me too? Because I...
Possibly.
I'm the one that brought it up and said,
yes,
can we stop with the Tom Savage played a half attack?
Stop it.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
No, the defense that he only played a half is the dumbest thing ever because... To be clear, if the offensive line wasn't terrible, he would have played more than a half. It wasn't like Bill O'Brien was like, you know what? Tom, you've been really terrible. I'm going to take you out. It's like, you might not survive, so I'm going to take you out.
Well, how about, again, what if your organization's, your thought about drafting a first-round quarterback is, let's give him some time as opposed to throwing him right to the wolves.
So they came into the year not wanting to play the better player?
Yes.
Okay, then as long
because
as
because wait a minute, there's no chance that you think Tom Savage is better than no. Deshaun Watson. You gave up two first round picks for him. So, Tom Savage is a fourth rounder. Why would you think Tom Savage is better?
It's not even just a better player, far superior. They decided you are so.
Now, you're a lot of that's hindsight. A lot of what you're working off of is hindsight.
So I'm asking him. He said my thought is he thought he was better at the time. That's why he played Tom Savage. He said they came into the year saying. We're going to give him time. So was it that they thought he wasn't better than Tom Savage at the time, or trying to save him?
Define better. Like Tom Savage knew the off.
A better chance to win football
Tom
games.
Tom Savage knew the off. Well, but it's easy to say all this when you see Deshaun put up 30 points
I'm
a game.
I'm not saying.
Everyone seems to forget. What
this
did you think about?
This is his theory. This is not
mine. Hold on. No, but I'm working off of what you said. What did you think of Deshaun against the Bengals? Because he was pretty bad.
He had one
good touchdown run, but Deshaun Watson was pretty bad against the Bengals.
Which
is par for the course for a rookie.
It was a Monday night game on the road. Yeah, I get it. He wasn't great, but the growth continued and it exponentially. My point isn't that Deshaun was I thought he was the better player because we just watched him in college. You just assume, but John's saying that Deshaun was held back. He was a better player. They thought he was a better player, but they didn't want to play him to save him. So did they come into the year? Did they come into the year saying? Deshaun's the better player. They knew that and decided we weren't going to play him anyway.
Let's just be reasonable about this. The sample size of finding out who Deshaun Watson was is relatively small still. You have limited reps, especially with the new collective bargaining agreement. You know that you got something special. I just told you on my kids' lives that Bill O'Brien said, this team could go to a Super Bowl. Bill O'Brien knew who. What if Bill O'Brien was right? What if Bill O'Brien, what was leaked to media members that Bill O'Brien was forced to play Tom Savage? What if that was true? Then why are we talking about Bill O'Brien?
Is it true?
Well, I mean, I just know this. Bill O'Brien acknowledged to someone else who I trust that Deshaun Watson would lead this team to a Super Bowl at some point, whether he was the coach or not. I would say that's knowing he's the better player. The team may. Let's just work through this because this is something you might not realize. In 2002, the plan was David Carr was going to be a backup to Kent Graham, and he was going to learn because you didn't want to have him slaughtered behind a bad offensive line. That was the plan. You remember that, John? Graham came in fat, out of shape.
Terrible.
David was way better than him in camp, and they abandoned their plan. Biggest mistake in Texans history because David got sacked 70 times and David got his ass kicked. And frankly, I mean, I don't think he was going to be successful because he didn't have the football character needed to stay and work and do all that stuff. And he's acknowledged it since he's left the game. But David Carr didn't need to be in there taking that beating at that particular time because it ended up screwing him up. And it will screw up a lot of players. Some players are so mentally tough that you can throw them into the wolves. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers would have struggled as a quarterback if he had been put in before he was put in. I don't think he was ready. He's become a substantially better quarterback. I remember talking to Zone. He's like, this Rodgers guy, man, he's not looking great right now in practice. And like Aaron Rodgers wasn't Aaron Rodgers at one point. So some guys can handle it mentally and some guys crater. So you always want to be careful. I don't begrudge a team for saying that they want to have a kid redshirt in college for a year or to say, We want somebody to sit and learn if we have to. Vince Young sat for half the season for Tennessee. Then he came in and he did well, and everyone gets upset. Why wasn't he there the whole year? Sometimes guys learn. In hindsight, Deshaun Watson could have handled this team week one. You're right, Dell. In hindsight, we know that to be the case.
Yes.
But it was leaked.
It should have been the case.
It was leaked out there by somebody, whispers, that Bill O'Brien
wanted it to be Deshaun, and Rick Smith came in and said, no, let's start Tom Savage.
So if that was true, let's say it was true, that might not have even come from Rick. It could have come from the owner who said, I've seen this ox get put in a ditch before with David Carr. I don't want to put another ox in a ditch. He could have said, I don't like oxes in ditches.
Well, but I don't know that he didn't have a relationship.
Folksy colloquialism.
I don't know that he didn't have a relationship close enough with Bob that he couldn't come to Bob directly and say that. That he had to go through Rick to do that.
Well, they've got the relationship now.
If it actually did happen as opposed to just whispers, which could have come from Bill O'Brien's camp saying, hey, I wanted to start the kid all along. Hey. And Rick wanted Tom Savage. Otherwise, I would have started him all along.
But this is what doesn't make sense. This is what doesn't make sense. If you were to assume that Bill O'Brien were to leak that out there and it wasn't true, why would Bill O'Brien have to do that? Because he kept the kid out for a half. Like three
games?
Because
everybody was saying how stupid he is.
Yeah, but for a half? We both know that's dumb.
Again, you can fill the board up right now if you say, was that, do you still hold this against Bill O'Brien?
No, you're right.
The answer is yes, and yeah. It's ridiculous to me.
Well, he's leaking it out to quell fan outrage. What does he care about fan outrage?
Well, that's the problem. If you got somebody who's so worried about fan outrage over over one half of a game where you're going to get the crap kicked out of you anyway, where you gave up, I think, what was it, 36 sacks or 38 sacks? What did it end up being?
It was 10.
Oh. Then you got other problems. If you're so worried about fan outrage, which
that he leaked this, not right after that game.
No, it was way down the road.
Yeah, it was about midway, whatever it was. But I will say this. You don't think public perception is important? During Andre Johnson's retirement, Rick Smith was booed lustily in that place. Lustily. If you don't think that's something that Bob McNair saw and said,
why does Bill care so much? We know why Bob cares.
Because he's trying to win the Rick war. He's trying to win that way. He doesn't want Rick there.
He
doesn't want Rick there. He wants his own guy in place because he doesn't trust Rick to make choice.
If he's using whispers to win the Rick war, he's going about the wrong coach better.
Does Littlefinger not win wars because of whispers?
Well, he's dead, so congratulations.
I knew that was
good. He's dead. He actually lost the war.
I get on my knees and I cry for you.
He got
and
killed
beg.
By two teenage girls. Congratulations.
Okay.
A teenage girl slit his throat. He didn't win.
He was winning a lot of battles before that.
If you die.
Now, have we not compared Rick Smith to Littlefinger?
If you die at the hands of a teenage girl, you didn't win. You ultimately did not win.
Okay. Well, she's got a long, thin sword.
If a 14-year-old girl slits your throat.
What's it called? The needle?
Needle.
Yeah.
You did not win that war.
No, I'd say Littlefinger.
You won a lot of battles, though.
He won a lot of battles.
Well, Littlefinger won a lot of battles.
But you said the war. He lost the war.
Yeah. Lady Sansa, I want you to meet my good friend, Ramsay Bolton. I think you're going to really love him, Lady Sansa. He's a wonderful man and a charming man.
Oh, yeah, except for all that. All that rough stuff he was doing.
He's a little rough.
He was.
He likes it a little rough.
A little
and
rough.
He got
well,
his
what
suit.
Do you mean by
Holy
rough?
Crap.
Like spankings? Well, no. Carving skin off your body. He'll also cut off your genitals. Well, that's not spanking.
Spankings.
He was doing that when he was six.
Yeah.
He's Lady Sansa, he's a little more aggressive with his with his rough play in the bedroom. Most of it doesn't even involve intercourse. It's just mostly hitting and scratching
in the books
and knives.
In the books, even though Sansa wasn't the one he abused, in the books it involved using dogs.
Oh.
Yeah, the books. My wife told me what the books were. Sansa, it didn't happen to Sansa with Ramsay Bolton. And on top of that, the Red Wedding,
In
the Red Wedding, it's not even the Lannister. What happens? It's
in the Red Wedding. The wife of Rob Stark.
Yeah, she's in on it.
He's not. It's questionable if she's in on it, but she's not even there.
She's not there.
She doesn't get killed.
I thought it was her family was in on it.
There's a thought, but there's no proof of that.
That would have been interesting. Although that was more devastating to have because she was pretty hot.
Yeah,
and pregnant.
Well, yeah.
That would have been interesting to keep her around. That was the greatest loss in the whole story. Time to talk about...
That was the greatest loss, her?
Well, yeah. I mean, because we still have... I mean, who? What was a greater loss than her?
She was still kind of an ancillary player.
Certainly not...
Not Sir Jorah Mormon or whatever his name is. Jorah, I am a stone face, my lady. You cannot be by me. That guy's... You can have so many spinoffs from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
They've got five prequels in the works.
Well, that's a little much. Well, that's a little aggressive.
Keep cashing those checks, Lance.
It's Star Wars all over again.
Time to talk about being a champion as opposed to just being an also-ran. Be a champion with Champion Energy. 1560energy.com, 281-653-5090, promo code 1560. The thing I like about it most is that, well, saving money. Yep. My bill is just ridiculously low. And you say, well, my bill is low now, too, because it's winter. Of course, everybody's bill is low, but mine's lower than yours. You know why? Because I'm with Champion. You know, why would you spend more money? I don't care if it's 10 cents more a month. Why would you spend more money with your electricity company? Because you want to be loyal to them? For what? How loyal are they to you when they're charging you more than they have to? When they got stupid, the unbelievable fees that they put in your bill. You pay with a check, you get a fee. If you pay with cash, you get a fee. If you pay with a credit card, you get a fee. Wait a minute. You mean if I pay, I get a fee? Okay, thanks. 1560energy.com. Of course, they have fees, but not just the ridiculous stuff that these guys just make up. Well, put another fee in there. What? 281-653-5090, promo code 1560 or 1560energy.com.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back. 821 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I believe Alex is next. So we got calls on the board. People are actually wanting to participate in the show. Lamont loves that. Let's get Alex in here. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, thanks. So I'm looking at so bear with me a second. Pretend that each of the teams remaining in the playoffs have a viable shot of getting to the Super Bowl, right? So you've got a potential very regional AFC and NFC championship day. You could have the Titans, the Jaguars, the Falcons, the Saints, right? It could be heavily southeastern concentrated. First of all, I'd be curious if SEC guy has any preference there, if he's just so exclusively into college football that he doesn't even care.
It's all he cares about. All SEC fans care about college teams, and really that's it. And maybe
following those players when they get to the NFL.
Yeah, but you only do a little bit. You don't do it a lot. You're only a little bit, and only if they're good.
Right. So the thing that's interesting to me is, I was looking at the ratings histories, the Super Bowl versus the NBA Finals and the World Series, and in the NBA and the World Series, the ratings fluctuate dramatically based on who's playing, right? The Spurs play the Pistons, you're getting a lower rating. The Cubs get in the World Series, that's spiking. The Super Bowl, man, it's Indianapolis plays New Orleans. It doesn't matter. It could be a regionalized matchup. It can be two small markets. It's like not even a blip on the radar as far as how it impacts the ratings. I'd be curious if the NFL at this time with the ratings concerns over this season, if they care about who plays, if would they be worried about a hypothetical scenario in which four southeastern teams play in a Super Bowl of, call it, the Jaguars and the Falcons? Would they be worried about that? Do they care? Because I think MLB and NFL and NBA care deeply.
Frankly, it doesn't matter if you care. Whoever wins and gets there. So what they care about is irrelevant to me, because whoever wins and deserves gets there deserves to get there. But I understand your question, And
I think Blake Bortles would affect
yeah,
ratings.
I absolutely do. I think it's good, a party, though, right? Super Bowl's bigger than a game.
Yes.
It's a party. That's what the difference.
I mean, we had Stan Humphries. We've had
some turds.
Kerry Collins and Trent Dilfer, and yeah,
they were terrible.
Yes,
the defense.
Well,
was incredible.
But they make it. You know, if the Jags get there, it'll be all about the defense and can the defense save the day, like Seattle did, like Seattle beat. You know, it was defense against offense, and guess what? Defense wins for the most part. It's the Super Bowl. You know what? With the ratings plummet that the NFL has had, do you think the Super Bowl will be? Is there any chance that we're going to see Super Bowls now declining because of kneeling or because of concussions, or is the Super Bowl always going to...
It's
a holiday. It's a national holiday now.
Yeah, it's insulated. People who don't follow sports end up watching and going. And I think Super Bowl is always going to be a really big thing. It's not going to matter. But I do think it would... Look, for the hardcore... See, the hardcore sports fan is going to tune in no matter who's playing. That's why maybe it wouldn't matter with Bortles. Because you're still going to, it's the last game of the season. You're still going to, you have a lot of other options?
No.
Not if you're a sports fan.
It's a national holiday. It really is. It's an event. It's our biggest sport.
Okay.
It's obviously our biggest sports event.
I could see a scenario where you have what we would call, okay, P1 is hardcore, P2 is a little off. The P3, for lack of a better term.
They're still going to go to the parties
But now these are the people who don't who
they like the commercials more.
Who occasionally will go to a Texans game because they like going to the tailgates or whatever, and they like watching some games if the team is good and good only. They don't really follow it really closely. If they get upset about kneeling, for example, because this is the only thing, I don't think the CT would throw anyone off. But let's say kneeling, and they don't like football, and they're big Trump supporters, and they think it's anti-Trump and the NFL and all that stuff. Let's throw a scenario or a hypothetical. I could see some fans saying, I'm not supporting the NFL at all, not even their Super Bowl, because they don't feel like you're missing anything anyway. They don't care about the game. Maybe that would be the case, but it's always going to be huge.
Yeah, no. Huge. I think the kneeling
stinks for the rest of us if Jacksonville's...
I think there are people who are committed to not watching because of the kneeling. There are people who haven't watched an NFL game because of the kneeling.
No, that is true. Do you think anything could keep him off of a Super Bowl? Or even a Texans game?
No.
Do you think Larry watched the last Texans game of the year?
I would bet yes.
Larry and Stafford?
Yes.
I bet yes.
I bet yes. Let's see. Larry, did you watch the last game?
Yes, sir. I damn sure did.
I knew it. Yeah, because the boys on Kirby, you had to watch them.
You're never missing. Is this the most painful season when you knew there was really – you weren't playing for a first rounder? You weren't playing for a young quarterback where you thought – I mean, you had a guy who was dead man walking at quarterback. You have no first or second rounders. But you're still good with watching. Everything was fine.
I was watching it because I'm a diehard Texan fan, and I love sports, man, and I – you know, this was the most painful season, man, because once four went down, it was just nothing that they could do that could possibly entice me to get excited about anything, because I still had to watch Xavier Cianfillo fat ass go out there and try to block somebody. So it was never going to get any better after Deshaun Watson left that Seattle game, man. And, you know, the fact that same day he got injured was the day the Astros won, man. That roller coaster ride of emotion, man. The Texans bottomed me out. So, yeah, it was nothing they could do. But I watch football because that's my squad, and I live in this city, and nothing's going to ever change that. But, fellas, y'all was asking the real good question about, you know, if SEC or the Southeast section of the country was in the Super Bowl with Jacksonville and Atlanta or whatever, would that bottom out the Super Bowl? Obviously, the Super Bowl has its own special day, and it would continue to be one of those high-profile events. If you truly want to know when the Super Bowl is going to bottom out, it's going to bottom out when they bring down musical acts like Two Tacos and Migos and Lil Pee Pee and Lil Pookie and all them boys that can't nobody understand the words they ass is saying. That's when the Super Bowl is going to bottom out, because if you can't have a musical act, because I remember trying to sit through the Super Bowl, and when they said the Who was going to be the group, I hurry up and got my ass outside and did something different. Hey, fellas, I want to talk about a couple more things. LZ.
Yeah.
See, I've been in this life for a while, man. So I've seen some things, and so I want to talk about this Ryan game, man. Look, you know, sometimes you got to get an outside perspective on your situation. So that's why people go to therapists. That's why people go to sex counselors if they can't, you know, smash their wives the right way. So you got to get somebody that can be objective in what your true problem is. What the Texans has done is this. They decided that I'm going to pressure wash the house with my high Honda pressure washer, but I'm still going to leave some of the mold left. Now, I know the mold going to still be there, and it's going to rotten out everything, but this little pressure washer is going to make everything look a little bit better. So that's what Brian Gaines is, because if you think for 1 second that just because he was gone for a year or two in Buffalo or whatever, that was the person that we wanted to see come back and try to evaluate and truly look at this franchise, that was a mistake. He may be the greatest guy in the world, but the Texans owed everybody in this city a true evaluation of what was wrong over there. And what they could have done is say, hey, man, look here, Larry. We want to meet you over here at Fuddruckers and Stafford, since they spend a lot of time over there. And we want you to give us your honest assessment. And I could have gave them an honest assessment of who should have been it. And it wouldn't have been Brian Gaines. It would have been somebody that can convince me that everybody on that offensive line ass should be cut except for Martin, and everybody in that secondary should be gone. Other than that, Brian Gaines going to come in and play the yes-man role of Bill O'Brien, and we're going to hope and pray that they figure out how to keep number four alive. Fellas, one more thing about Littlefinger and Games of Thrones. I like y'all so because y'all talk about these kind of things. The most important loss in this whole deal with the Game of Thrones, I think, was Khal Drogo. Because anybody that can melt some gold and pour it on somebody's head and burn their ass to death, I would have really liked to see him and the Unsullies go at it. Because I think him and the Unsullies would have made a run at Daenerys, and then it would have been a lot of freaking going on. And you know how us boys like them freak sales. We like them when they get fucking naked in our hollow.
What does Larry mean by made a run at Daenerys, Del?
You know what it means.
Yeah.
You know what he means.
But what are the Unsullied going to do? First of all, she would have been the mother of dragons. She would have been the mother of dragons who was second fill unless she had tried to. No, that's what would have happened. She would have tried to make a little move to distance herself so she could take over. And Khal Drogo would be like,
I just got huge respect for Khal Drogo for hitting that in the first place. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it was. If this had been filmed now, they might have changed the books a little bit. Like, maybe he wasn't as aggressively taking her as he did. Look, maybe it'd be like.
They changed enough because in the books, she's like 12 and he.
Well, that's got to be changed.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And he raped her. So.
We're not okay. Yeah, that's not okay in our. Even HBO would be like, yeah, he's. That's not going to be okay. I'm sorry, George Martin. We're going to have to change some of these ages.
They aged up everyone just so they could actually get away
with stuff. Well, yeah, so that you could put it on TV.
Well, in the books, was Littlefinger 15?
All the women, they aged up.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah. 832 ESPN 97.
It's a little filter just
I don't
want to
see that. I don't want to. But I don't really didn't want to see a 12-year-old and Khal Drogo.
No.
It worked out just perfect. As soon as Khaleesi got into the bathtub. You had me at the bathtub, mm-hmm. Khaleesi. You were watching that on a plane, weren't you? And she steps in.
Like, it.
Oh. Whoa. Got some porn on a plane. All right, 832 ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:37 here on ESPN 97.5. Our good friend Trey, the intern, who's been an intern here now for like 6 years. he was sitting out there. And Lance, you put me on this. I didn't know this.
I didn't know this either. They were playing this game with Trey out there, and I heard it from my office, which is on the cultured side on Culture Map. It's on the good side, the clean side. And all of a sudden, I heard this stuff going on, and it sounded like something that would be a Gilbert thing. And I just heard them asking Trey questions, and Trey blurting out these answers, and people were checking them, and they were all right. I'm like, wait a minute, I got to go see this.
All right.
And so I went in there and watched Rain Man Trey go to work on NASCAR. Trey has this ridiculous...
He's Gilbert-like in this.
Now, you are or are not a juggalo? Which one,
no,
Trey?
No, definitely not a juggalo.
Then why do you call yourself Juggalo Trey?
AJ Hoffman gave me that nickname.
Oh, is that how you got that?
Yeah.
Because it feels accurate.
No, not really. No, I don't listen to ICP.
You don't even listen to them?
No.
And you don't go around stabbing people?
No, juggalos don't stab people.
Well, they do, kind of.
I've never heard any...
No, they just have sex with fat girls in porta-potties.
Well, that's happened.
You get that from Workaholics, Del?
No, I got it from...
Oh, boom! Roasted!
I got that from interviews people have done with them.
Yeah. So they're dangerous people, though, the juggalos.
No, they have a dangerous, like, fragrance. They smell bad.
Let's get right.
We got it, Trey. Thanks for clearing that up.
All right. Now, Trey just. Some people know. You can ask them, like Gilbert. We can ask him when stars died, and he knows.
Okay, 2008 driver of the year.
The champion of 2008.
Champion of 2008.
That'd be Jimmy Johnson. That was his third consecutive championship.
Jimmy Johnson 2008.
What did he win that year?
He won I think he won the Brickyard 400. He won Kansas. He won, I think he won Dover.
Well, let's see about that.
He pulled up. He won like five or six races that year.
So go to his Wikipedia page. We'll have them all listed, John. You should be
all right,
able to.
2008.
Hold on. We're going to test
you. Wait just a second.
Let John just pull it up. So you're saying Kansas, Dover, Brickyard 400?
Yeah, he won the Brickyard 400 in 2008.
First of all, make sure he was actually...
After the 2008 season, Johnson became the second driver to win three consecutive NASCAR Cup Series.
Cale Yarbrough was the first.
Who was?
Cale Yarbrough, 1976.
The first being Cale Yarbrough during the season, he managed to win seven races, including a sweep at Phoenix.
If you have a NASCAR trivia question, 713-780-3776.
All right, what's the best... All right, what was Team of the Year... Team of the Year in 2010.
2010, Jimmy Johnson won his fifth consecutive championship, so I'd probably give it to Hendrix because he drove for Hendrix.
I mean, do you want more? No. Hey, Trey, do you remember who the top three finishers were in the 2005 Brickyard 400?
Let me think. Tony Stewart finished first, Casey Kane finished second, and who finished third? I can't remember who finished third, but I know Casey Kane finished second. Tony Stewart, he won that. Indy, his dad was there. It's his home track.
Let me ask you, Daytona 500, who won in 2010?
2010 Daytona 500 was won by Jamie McMurray. Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished second.
Were there any
Jamie
accidents?
McMurray, no one, he's not even a driver.
Yes,
no one
Jamie
ever heard.
McMurray is a driver.
Let's say Daytona.
The 2010 Daytona 500 was red flagged by a pothole in turn two, and it took 4 hours to fix the pothole.
Hold on a second.
It took
Daytona
how long?
500 Wikipedia.
It took 4 hours.
What year did you ask? Lance?
2010.
Oh, Greg Biffle finished third. By the way,
obviously.
Oh, Greg Jamie McMurray won.
Hold on. Do you see anything about a pothole in the second turn? What does it say?
It was a pothole, and it took 4 hours to complete the maintenance of the pothole. They had to put Tide.
Do you
stuff.
Write for Wikipedia? Are you Wikipedia?
No, I write for Sports Map.
All right.
You do. You write about motorsports?
Yeah,
yes,
I can.
He does.
You do?
I can, yeah.
Well, obviously you
NASCAR.
Can. Wait a minute. Okay, let me ask you this. What do you know about history? Let's go back to 1991 Daytona 500.
Ernie Irvin won the 1991 Daytona 500. There was a wreck on the straightaway with Dale Earnhardt, Kyle Petty, and Davey Allison. Davey Allison crashed into the bank and almost flipped over.
You're asking about the
Were
premier-
you alive?
No.
When did Davey Allison win?
Davey Allison won the Daytona 500 in 1992, and Morgan Shepherd finished second.
You're asking about the premier race in motorsports. You need to give him some
more.
Yeah,
he wasn't alive.
It doesn't matter.
He knows how long it took to fix potholes.
It doesn't matter.
It took 4 hours.
Who won the first Daytona in 1959?
The first Daytona 500 was won by Lee Petty, but there was a discrepancy.
You got to ask him about something else besides Daytona.
Okay, right. How about this? How about the Indy 500? That's an Indy car. That's not
still a premier race, but go ahead.
All right, yeah, but a lot of NASCAR fans are not IndyCar fans.
Yeah, I don't like them IndyCars and
what?
With their box wine and stuff.
What? All right. Wait, what?
Do you happen to know who won the 2000 Indianapolis 500?
The 2000 Indianapolis 500 was won by, let me think.
He's not an IndyCar guy.
He's not an IndyCar guy.
Let me think. Hold on. I think it was Juan Pablo Montoya.
What?
John, could
2000
you
Indy 500. Wait a minute.
Indy 500.
For some reason, that's
it was won by Juan Pablo Montoya.
That's what I said.
I know. I'm giving you credit for it.
He also won 2012, I think.
He thinks.
He's not even an Indy fan. He hates Indy cars, them box cars.
Do you know who was the number one driver? I don't. Do they have a designation for Indy for Formula One in 2003?
2003 was probably Michael Schumacher. He won the F1 championship then.
Okay.
That's actually an easy guess, though, if I'm being honest.
Michael Schumacher won 7 F1 championships.
What's the race in Connecticut, NASCAR?
In Connecticut? I don't think there is a race in
Don't they have one near ESPN?
They have one in New Hampshire.
What is that?
That's at Loudoun. They've been racing there since 1993.
What was the last race Ricky Bobby won, and in what sponsor's car?
I think Ricky Bobby, the last race he won wasn't, it was at like, was at Rockingham, if I remember correctly. But Rockingham wasn't a racetrack then, so But, like, in the last part of the movie, they flipped, and Ricky Bobby, like, got out of his car, and it was illegal. You can't get out of your car.
Right.
So they gave the win to Cal Naughton Jr., but, I mean, how could you say he finished third? He was in that big wreck, you know?
You can't
That's
say
That's a fair
it.
Thing.
Who won last year's NASCAR Energy Cup Series?
The champion?
Yeah, Monster
Martin
Energy.
Martin
Truex Jr. won it?
Kyle Busch finished second.
Who won the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series?
This year? That would be Camping World Truck Series was won by Johnny Sauter.
I don't know.
Is
I'm
that
just
true?
Asking. I don't know.
He's just asking questions.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
I know the Xfinity Series Championship was won by William Byron. I hate William Byron.
Why do you hate him?
His Liberty University sponsorship is...
Why do you hate Liberty University?
Because of the Falwells. I hate the Falwells.
Why do you hate... Why
Trey's
hate?
Never liked the Falwells. You know that, John.
Yeah, you know that, John.
Why
you know
do
that
you hate
about
the
Trey?
Falwells?
Because they blame 9/11 on gays. How can you blame 9/11 on gays?
That's the reason to hate them. If you... Yeah, it's not a bad reason.
This kid's gold. I'm telling you.
Thanks, Lance.
Trey, let me ask you a question. Can you name...
Somebody's got to get blamed.
What was the...
No,
what was
John.
The worst accident in the 90s... At a NASCAR race, well, you define worst accident.
A couple of drivers died in plane crashes. Alan Kowicki, the 1992 NASCAR champion, died in a plane crash, and Davey Allison died in a helicopter crash.
So what year?
1993. Both died within months of each other.
How many races did Davey Allison win before then? Do you happen to know?
I think
the majors.
The major races? Well, he won the Daytona 500 in 1992. That was pretty much his crowning achievement. He would have won the championship in 1992 if Ernie Irvin didn't take him out in turn four at Atlanta.
Right. I remember that dreadful and that fateful turn four.
Who's driving for Chip Ganassi Racing this year?
Jamie McMurray and Kyle Larson.
Who's going to be driving for Stewart Haas Racing?
Let's see. Eric Almirola, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, and
one more.
Clint Bowyer.
I don't know anybody who does what he does in their particular fields. 86.
Why
were you alive in 86?
1986 Daytona 500 was won by Jeff Bodine.
No, I didn't ask first. I asked third.
No, I wasn't alive in 86.
1986, third place.
You don't know third place.
I don't know.
Well, then you lost all credibility.
I know. That's crazy. All.
Jeff Bodine?
Jeff Bodine won that race because Dale Earnhardt ran out of fuel.
Who was he racing for at that particular time?
Rick Hendrick.
Who's going to be driving for Go Fast Racing this year?
Matt DiBenedetto. They call him Matt DiBurrito.
Yeah.
Why do you call him that? His name's DiBenedetto.
Yeah, I don't know. It's proud. I don't know. It's kind of racist, if you ask me.
Is it a little bit? You're
is
a little
it,
racist.
Or is it just a play on?
And you make fun of the Falwells.
I don't.
When you're being racist
don't
like this,
I call him DiBurrito, but.
You just did.
No, I said
not in mixed company. He doesn't.
No,
only with other NASCAR.
And you're making fun of the Falwells.
Brandon Caldwell, who's a writer who listens to the show and writes for a bunch of places, including the Houston Press, said, "Holy bleep, this is amazing. This guy's the Gilbert of NASCAR." That's a compliment, by the way. I will find a sponsor. We have to have a daily Juggalo Trey segment.
Hey, do you guys think Chris Richard would be a good coach for the Lions?
What race did he win?
He didn't.
He's
don't think
he's a race
car driver.
He's the former Seattle defensive coordinator.
I know.
He's trying to expand his game.
Stay in your lane.
Yes.
Literally, NASCAR.
Yeah.
No, we know both the coordinators for Seattle got fired. But I'm still wondering about this whole Coke Zero 400. When did it turn into the Coke Zero 400?
It turned into the Coke Zero 400 in 2008.
What was it before then?
The Pepsi 400.
Wow. It went from Pepsi to Coke Zero?
That's a big deal.
That's a shot in the face, wasn't it?
What was it before it was the Pepsi 400?
The Firecracker 400.
What was it before the Firecracker 400?
It was always just the Firecracker
400. Okay. You tried to slip
them up. Who was the first person to win the Firecracker 400? And what year was that?
I think it was 1960. It was Junior Johnson.
Hold on.
Wait.
I need to
know this. Firecracker 400. We're looking this up. If this is right.
Results. Hold on. I'm just going results. Hopefully this is just an easy, super easy Wikipedia page.
Firecracker 400.
Go to the very
beginning.
Say it again. 1960.
I think it was Junior Johnson.
According to past winners. Here we go. And it is... No, his first one, 19. I only got to 1975. Richard Petty.
Yeah, Richard Petty won at Daytona, the Daytona 500 7 times. He also won the championship 7 times.
How many times
he
finished second?
Fireball.
Hold on,
Fireball.
Firecracker. I'm looking at a guy named Fireball Roberts.
Yeah, he won. It was Fireball Roberts. You're right.
He won in 1959. That's the first time it ever.
Did Junior win in 60?
No, it's a guy named Jack Smith.
That's like the most basic name ever.
Right.
Jack Smith.
That's too hard to remember.
So you guys stumped him
for
once.
Yeah, you
got him. Who won the first ever Firecracker 400? Now you'll never forget it, though, Trey.
No, I never will. Yep. Jack Smith.
They said we need a
Fireball Roberts.
No, Fireball Roberts, 59.
Right. You're right.
You'll never forget 1960, though.
No,
Jack Smith.
Of course.
I'll never forget that year. That was incredible. Do you, last question, Trey.
Go ahead.
I got one more.
Oh, go ahead.
Who's going to drive for BK Racing this year?
Next year, you don't ever know with BK Racing because those guys are always defaulting on their loans and they're getting rid of all their furniture and they might not even be around next year.
It's true. It's TBA.
But probably Gray Golding.
I'm serious.
I'm pretty sure Gray Golding's probably going to drive for him because he's got rich parents.
Oh. I can't describe how entertaining this segment is with Trey. Dude is car racing Rain Man.
He is Rain Man.
Thanks.
I want a remake of My Cousin Vinny, but with Trey as the waitress that Vinny forces to testify as an expert in NASCAR. Oh my!
I've never seen this
God.
Movie.
You've never seen My Cousin Vinny?
Never.
You have to watch My Cousin Vinny.
I'll go to the Netflix.
Trey, what's the most controversial finish of any NASCAR race that you can ever recall?
That I could recall?
Or that was happened before you were born?
There was the 1981 Daytona 500 when 1982 Daytona 500 when Bobby Allison's bumper fell off, and that took off resistance to his car, and he won the race.
And did they refute it? Did they have
They tried to protest, but it fell on deaf ears.
So why don't they just have a loose...
It sounds like he's literally reading a book of it fell on deaf ears. So here's what I want to know about that, Trey, in 81. I don't want to know who was second. I want to know who was fourth.
Oh.
Whoa.
I know.
That's tough. I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to go with Cale Yarborough.
Yarborough.
Do you know who finished second? You obviously know who finished second in 81.
No, I don't know.
What?
What?
In the resistance race?
In the Daytona 500 where Bobby Allison's bumper fell off?
Yeah.
They call that Bumper Gate, I think.
Right.
No, I don't know. I might have been.
Get
Richard
out of here.
Petty.
You all don't right. know anything that's about it. Racing.
Thanks for everything, guys.
You don't know
Richard
anything
Petty
about
Petty finished second.
Who did? Learned.
That's what I said. Richard Petty.
Yeah, he said Richard Petty.
And
he did finish
fourth?
Second. It was a guy named Jody Ridley.
Jody Ridley drove the 90 car.
Get out. Seriously, get out. Get
thanks,
out.
You screwed up. You don't
get
know
out,
who finished
big
fourth.
Fan.
In 1981, he didn't know who finished fourth. Beat it.
I do want to talk about Men's T Clinic. I don't have a way to segue into the most incredible thing I've ever heard, other than this is one of the most incredible companies I know, Men's T Clinic, because if you've lost all your mojo, if you just say, man, I am always tired, I can't get through workouts, I think I want to go to workouts, and I lay on the couch, keep watching TV the whole time. Or maybe you work out all the time, and you've got belly fat you can't get rid of, and it's like, why is this not happening? It's because your testosterone level's low, and you're not... you don't process the same way, and your lean muscle mass is lower than it should be. If you get your testosterone level right again, you're going to find out that you're the back to being the old you, and that's what you want to do. If you want to get back to being the old you, why don't you call my friends over at Men's T Clinic, 713-568-1175. They got a location at 1801 Durham and I-10. You drop in. You can make an appointment if you want, or you can just drop in, and they will see you. The location at Cypress is going bonkers right now off of 290 and Barker Cypress. And they've got a brand new store that is getting ready to open up in Shadow Creek Ranch off of 288 in Pearland. So this company did so much for me. They can do so much for you as well. MensTClinic.com.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, let's talk Renter's Warehouse right now. Look, if you're looking to get out of that home, well, if you're looking to rent a place, there's only one place to go, and that's Renter's Warehouse. But they're also looking for places, you know, it certainly would help with all the people that have been displaced in the city of Houston because of the hurricane. If you don't want to live in your house, don't sell it. Rent it to someone that wants to pay off your mortgage.
You mean someone else will pay for your house?
Yes. And then you get to keep on owning it.
Oh, and then they pay you more than the mortgage is worth, so you actually make money while they're paying for your house.
Yes.
I mean, if you can find a better deal than that, go ahead and take it, but I don't think you're going to. For one low monthly fee, they handle all the maintenance. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, and you don't have anything that you have to worry about. Go to the website, renterswarehouse.com, and get more information. But now is the time for you to go to the rent-a-state agents and find out how they can start saving you, they can start making you money on your property at renterswarehouse.com.